Let's take our seats. All right. And the older kids, sorry, you got to be up here. I can't go downstairs and teach you at the same time, so you'll be up here. Pray for Todd. He had surgery in his neck for something. I don't know if you guys know who Todd is. He goes down with the kids a lot. He's got four kids of his own, three boys and a little girl. And he had something with his neck, so he had surgery done this last week, so he wasn't feeling up to coming in today. So just keep him in your prayers. The title is going to be Steadfast in the Face of Opposition. So we're going to be in 3 John, and there's a lot in there. It's just 14 verses, so we're going to do the whole thing. So hang on. No, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. So we'll start off here. It's the elder. To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers of the truth. I wrote to you, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbid those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we here also bear witness that you know that the testimony is true. I have many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with ink, pen, and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, that we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you, and greet the friends by name. So a little history of this. This is the last message that John does, other than getting into the Revelation. And Dio, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing this right. I looked it up a couple times. Pam tried to help me, but my memory is just really short. And Diotrephes, close enough. You guys go with me on that. Was a leading member of the church, perhaps a bishop of the church in which Gaius belonged to, whom John, the beloved apostle, wrote the third epistle. Few facts are known about him, speaking of Diotrephes. His domineering attitude made him an obstacle in the progression of the church. We've heard that before with people. You know, they kind of make you stumble and kind of stop the forwardness of Christ. But the facts, though sad, have been a great blessing and comfort to many a minister who has had to serve with one man like this in the church. Pride and love of preeminence are of the evil and are exact opposite to that unselfishness, humility that the Holy Spirit demands. So, as we're getting into this, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, here John says, I love in truth. And the truth he's speaking about is with Christ. If I love somebody with Christ, in Christ's love, that's full out loving. There's no obstacles. There's no, well, I love you, but you know, you do these things and I don't like that about you, so I'll love you to this point, but I'm not going to continue on loving you all the way through because, you know, you're okay, but I can only love you so much. And that's not the way it is. True love means I love you all the way through, right? You know, sometimes I hear people say I love you, you know, and a couple years ago I did this in my own heart. When I say I love you, do I really mean it? I know there's some people out there that say I love you a lot, and they do mean it. But then there's some other people I hear say, gosh, I love you, you know, and they say it all the time. And I kind of look at them going, yeah, right. You know, it's almost like it's just a word you're saying. And we just don't throw it out there lightly. You know, you don't want to throw it out there lightly. You want to say, yeah, I do love you. But I had to check my heart, because when I was saying it, I was thinking, you know, when they said it to me and I said it back to them, did I really mean it? And that's been going through my heart for the last couple of years. I mean, do I really mean it when I say it? You know, and what is true love? You know, so I had to look that up and I had to think about that and pray about that and be still and hear what God's voice says. And it's true love is you love them all the way. You know, I love Dave to a point, but he irritates me on this side, so I'm not going to love him all the way. That's not right. True love is all the way through. But I want to do my part, and when I do say something to somebody, I want to truly mean it. You know, and I think we all do. And I know there's people out there that say it a lot, and there's some that really, truly mean it. They just have that heart of loving everybody and let everybody know. I know Linda says it a lot, and you really mean it. I can see it in your face. But there's other people I see it in their face, and they're just saying that to get rid of me, you know, to brush me off. But it's come into my heart, so. And then also when I started thinking about that, do I pray for people? You know, so I'm in here, and I say, yeah, I'll pray for you. But then when I go home, I get busy. You know, I get home and someone tells me, my computer's broke, can you come look at it? Or we got a leak in the faucet, or this is happening, that's happening. We get the distractions, right? The dog just took off running, you know, or something happens, you know? So, you know, I was standing back there once. I'm sorry, I'm going to use you, Craig. We were standing in the back and he comes up and I said, how you doing? He goes, oh, pray for me. And he starts to walk out, and I'm just like brain dead for a second. And Bill goes, let's pray now. And we grabbed him and we prayed for him. And then I checked on him during the week, and he says he was doing good. And that was a blessing, you know. But that was my fault. I apologize to Bill, too, because I should have done that right away. You know, we should do that right away when someone says, yeah, pray for me. I'm having struggling. Well, let's pray right now, you know, because I might not have a chance tomorrow. You know, might not have a chance on the way out of here. I might pull out and somebody might be thinking, texting somebody and run right into you. You don't know. And next you know, you're in the hospital. 3 days later, you wake up. Oh, I didn't pray for him. You know, I know that's exaggerating, but I'm trying to get you guys to understand that. So do I pray for people? And when I say I'm going to pray for them. And when I get the prayer list from Gwen, she sends it to Pam, and then Pam sends it to me. Do I pray for those things that we hear? You know, do I? You know, we got to think about that, you know. I do have a sheet of everybody. By the way, they're in the back. I have the list of everybody in here and their addresses and stuff. And if you're not on there, see me and I'll get you on there. But I take that home and it's in my head because I put it together. So I go down through the list for memory. I try to go down through everybody's name through there and without looking at it. And I pray for you at night. And sometimes what happens, the reason I do that is because at 3 o'clock in the morning I wake up, or 2 o'clock in the morning I wake up, and I know God's waking me up to pray for everybody. So I pray for them, whatever's going on in their lives, you know, whatever's going on in your lives. So I try to do that at least once a week, and I do it for my family too. So do I keep breathing into this and making it sound weird? So we have to make sure that if we're saying something, we want to do this. That's what I'm saying, you know. So if you're going to pray for somebody, pray for them. If you say you love them, love them. And that's what the elder was saying. He says in Gaius, whom I love in truth. You know, so in truth, if I say I'm going to pray for you, I got to pray for you. That's truth, right? I do have some people in my life that won't talk to me anymore. I have siblings, believe it or not, that don't talk to me anymore. But I still pray for them. because I love them. Just because they don't want anything to do with me doesn't mean I don't still love them. You know, so we can still pray for those people too. You know, and I don't pray for them because I hear the Bible, I read in the Bible, it says you pour hot coals on their head by praying for your, that's not the reason I'm doing it. That wouldn't be right. No, I pray for them because I love them, right? So what about good health? Do I pray for good health for people like that? Yes, I do. As we keep getting in there, it says, verse 2 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. You know, so that's the other thing you can pray for people for. So Gaius, he was very strong in all this. He was walking with Christ, and he was preaching that word, and he was being truthful. And verse 3 says, for I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. There was members of the church that Gaius belonged to that went to John and told him how Gaius was doing. That's cool. You know, maybe you guys can call Bill tomorrow and say, Dennis did a pretty good job, you know. I'm just teasing. But that's kind of what he was doing. That's what they did. They went to him and told him. But in one sense, you know, I think of it that, you know, when that happens, they knew his heart. They knew Gaius's heart. And John knew Gaius's heart, that he loved the Lord. You know, so if someone came to me about Dave and said, you know, I was at Dave's Bible study, he said this and this, and it wasn't lining up with whose Dave's heart is, who I know very well and have a good relationship with him, and I would say, yeah, you know, that's not true. You know, we met, I don't know, a lot of people don't know Dora Lee. Remember Dora Lee? They started the church in their basement years ago, right? And she moved out of here about 7 years ago, maybe eight. And Pam and I met a lady, and we were talking to this lady, and she said some things about Dora Lee that both of us looked at each other and said, that is not true. You know, she was saying some things, but, you know, it was hard to talk to somebody like that because when they get in that negative attitude, when you're trying to talk to them, they don't really hear what you're saying, and that's a bad thing. But, you know, and we pray for her, you know. I pray for that lady, to be honest with you, and I do pray for her because that's what the truth says. But it's when we know somebody's heart, we know how they are. I mean, I can look at anybody in here, and if someone said something about you, I would defend you. You won't need to be there because I know your hearts, you know. But it would be good if you know, like some of the people that go to Dave's Bible study would go to Bill and say, hey, Dave's doing a good job. You know, that's really cool. It did happen with Pam when she was, and not because she's my wife. I'm just saying this. No, I'm saying it because what happened, Bill told me that some of the women went to him and said it was a good job. You know, the first one they did and the last couple ones they've done, it's been really good. So that's kind of good. That's what happened with Gaius. People went to John and told him how well he was doing. And that's really good. And he rejoiced with that. You know, John rejoiced with that. He thought that was really neat. And that's what we need to do. And that's supporting. That's edifying people. And that's what we need to do. We need to support each other and edify. You know, if you know someone's doing something good or struggling with something, Dave's been struggling with something this last couple weeks, and he's here, and I praise him for being there. I think that is so cool that he's here, because he says, I'm probably going to have to take a sabbatical. I'm struggling with some things, but yet he's trusted in the Lord, and the Lord's worked through him, and he's sitting right here. Praise God. And that's the other thing I want to say. Sometimes when we get into battles, the first thing we do is we say, I'm not going to come to church. I got to take time away. And you know what? That is wrong. That's not where you want to be. You want to be here where you get encouraged. Because I pray, we prayed downstairs every day before service, every Sunday, the elders and Bill, we go downstairs and pray for this service, and we pray for you guys. And we pray that you leave the troubles outside the door and come in here and just take a while. You got a break from the world. You get a break from the world and just sit in here. So that's a good thing. But that's one way to spread good news, too. You know, to go to each other and say, you know, I'm struggling with this, but God help me with this. And that's great. And it doesn't matter if you have some other stuff that's going on in your life and you want us to pray for that, that's good too. You know, it shows me that you trust me to pray for you if you're telling me your stuff. So we want to walk in truth. My mom used to tell me some of the times that she'd go, you know, your cousin Paul, he's doing this and he's doing that. And I'm like, well, great for Paul. He's going to be a brain surgeon. Good. Maybe he can work on his own brain because, you know, I don't care what he's doing, you know. So sometimes that gets in my mind too. Someone comes up and says, oh, he's doing great. Well, good for him, you know. But that's a bad attitude on my end. I have to watch that. And I wasn't a believer when that was going on, by the way. I want to make that clear. I didn't know who Christ was. I was younger, and my mom was trying to say, what are you going to do in life? And I'm, you know, leave me alone. I'll figure it out, you know. But where I'm going with that is sometimes, you know, we hear people are doing great. You know, if I hear Dave's doing really, I'm picking on you because Jason's not here, and I was told by Bill we pick on Jason. But if Dave is struggling with something, I don't sit there and rejoice in his sufferings, that he's suffering. Yay, I'm doing better than him. No, as Christians, we're not doing that. As Christians, what we do is we say, you know, I want to support you. What do you need for me? I want to be there for you. And then check on them throughout the week, you know. That's what we need to do. In verse 4, John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And that's so cool. That is such a good statement right there. That's a great verse. Joy. John is so joyful that Gaius is doing good. He is commending him and he's happy. He's walking in the truth. You know, the truth is Jesus died on the cross for us. That is the truth. I don't care what anybody says. That is the truth. These non-believers, they need to get it. Because that is the truth. And if you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you're living in the truth. You understand who Christ is, and that's very important. And you do have eternal life. That is the truth. There is nothing else. And I know it'll be verified when you see Christ, when you pass and you go on and you see Christ and you bow before him. That'll be the end of it. By the way, you know, it says children will be believers. That he says that my children walk in the truth. We got to pray for our kids. Oh my gosh. They are battling more than we ever battled as a child. So I think about children and what a blessing they are when they walk in the truth. And I love the little ones when they don't even know the bad stuff yet and they just have that joy about them. You know, it's just so great to see. So verse 5 says, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. So you know what I see faithfully? If someone comes in need, you give it out of your heart. You know, you pull up to a stop sign and you see these people out there and you go, should I give? Should I not give? What, you know, what do I do? Well, if you do give to them that you feel the Lord is telling you to give it to them, you give it to them. And you let God deal with the rest. If someone comes to you and needs something, you just give it to them. And you don't, you know, that's if God is telling you in your heart. If you pray about it and you feel God's telling you to give, you give and don't worry about it. You got to let it go. You know, one time I had a relative come to us when we were first married and asked to borrow some money. And Pam and I talked about it and we gave it to them. We didn't want it back because then when you try to get it back, then it's a mess. But when you give it to them and you just let it go, you let it go. And you don't have to deal with it ever again. And that happened, it's just a better thing to do. But if you feel God's calling you to do that, you just do it. By the way, strangers and brethren that he's talking about here in verse 5 is they're traveling Christian workers is what they were. And they're going around. The early church was centered on that missionary outreach where these guys had to go to the different churches and stuff. And otherwise, it wouldn't have survived. It wouldn't have spread. So they had to have these people do that. But what they did, as John continues in verse 6, it says, who have borne witness of your love before the church. What they did is when they went, they did not want to take, well, I'll get into that. But sometimes we hear the church, we think of this one. You know, I think whenever we're talking about church group, I always think of you guys. And you know what? That's not totally right. To be honest with you, it's the whole church across the whole world. It's the church of Christ. It's Jesus. If you're coming to church for Jesus, that's the church, right? And I want to represent that church well. I'm not speaking of you guys, I'm speaking of the whole church. If we're representing the church, we want to represent it well. And that's what he wants to do. That's what John's talking about. If you have bore witness of your love before the church. So verse 6 says, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. When they went out on their journey, they were sent with necessary materials. They were given things and financial support. And the reason they did that, because it was they were laboring at large for the gospel work and not for themselves, but for the one who sent them, for Christ who sent them, right? And see, the Christians didn't want to take anything from the Gentiles. They didn't want to take it when they were going out there to spread the word, because if they took things, they thought that they did it for financial gain, and they didn't want to do that. So sometimes when we're doing things, we go to somebody and want to help them. They go, well, let me pay you. Well, I'm not doing this financial gain. I'm doing this to help you. I don't want money from you. You know, we just want to help you. And sometimes it gets convoluted. You know, you don't want to do that. You want to make sure it's very clear that we're doing this. There's no burden on you. I'm just trying to help you. But they back then, they were accused of doing the message for financial gain. Isn't that funny? You know, I know that sometimes when people come into church, they go, what do we have to do? What do we have to pay? You know, nothing. You know, we don't pass the plate around. It's in the back. It's upon your heart. You do what you want. You do what you feel with. It's between you and God. We're not going to deal with that. You know, I know I heard from a church that they actually tell you how much you have to give. And there's all kinds of things out there. And wouldn't that be sad if you came in here and we say, okay, how much you make? Let me sit down. We'll calculate it out. There you go. You've got to pay this much money. That wouldn't be right. And some people come in and you know, I've invited people to church a lot of times, and they'll go, well, what do we got to do? You don't have to do nothing. You come in and sit down. You know, that's it. That's not hard. But like you said in verse 7, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. They didn't want to take anything. And we don't want to take anything from you either. The church will survive if God wants it or not, you know. And I know some churches put out there, they go, okay, we're going to do an add-on. We're going to do this, and they want to raise money and stuff. Well, if God wants us to add on, he'll give us the money, right? By the way, outside you'll see some work being done on the church. We're getting ready to paint it. So make it look better. It's needed some repairs and stuff. And we had someone come forth and provide all that. So isn't that great? You know, praise God, yeah. Verse 8 says, we ought therefore to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. We are all not called to go out and minister. I can tell you that. I'm not called to walk around and tell everybody. Greg's raising his hand. I'm not called to do that. But I will go out and talk to people, you know, I mean, but not for that reason. I'm not going to go knocking on doors. That's just not me. Years ago, we had a different pastor, and he got together a whole group of people, and they went to Mississippi after the hurricane, and they went down there and helped a couple churches and some neighborhoods and stuff. That was not my call. My call is within the community. I want to help in the community. Yeah, but not everybody's called to do that. But we are called to do our part. You know, when they went, we were praying for them. I was praying for them to keep them safe and that it would be a good thing that they did and things like that. Because it is, everything we do in this church, in the churches, is for the forward of Christ. And that means we all do a part in that. You know, and there's so many parts in that we do. So you got to be able to do your part. And it could be as simple as prayer. Now we're going to get, it's going to change. The message is now going to change in what John was writing. Because now it's going to change. That was all positive things, you know, it was really good stuff. It's positive. But now it's going to get kind of negative. Because, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbid those who wish to putting them out of the church. That's tough. And this guy was not nice. And I've seen people like this. Unfortunately, years and years ago, we had a pastor kind of that way, that was kind of harsh. And it doesn't represent Christ at all, because Christ is not that way. He's loving, and we are to be loving. But we do have to, you know, watch yourself. You know, there are some times you got to be tough, but you're tough and loving. But there's always one that tries to mess things up. There's always the one, as I call it. You know, wanting it their way. You know, you got to be careful with that. You know, because sometimes I have to think about things when we're getting ready to do things, even in our own lives. Is it because I want it this way? Do I have to have it this way? Or is it Christ wanting it a certain way? Am I fighting him, or am I fighting God? Or am I fighting myself? You know, like Dave was telling me this week that he had struggles, and he was struggling with Christ and how he was supposed to be. But you know what? Guess who wins? Christ wins. Yeah. And we're glad for that, right, Dave? We are totally glad for that. And sometimes we don't see ourselves being that way. We see ourselves as righteous. And we got to be careful with that. When we start becoming righteous, that's when things are going to happen. You know, that's when you might have to get off that pedestal or get knocked off of it. And sometimes I need to get knocked off of it pretty good. So even if you try to be a good Christian, the evil one is right there helping you make a mess of it. You know, he's right there. Just when you think things are going great, this is going smooth. Man, I got this all lined up. Boom. Yeah, we're trying to cover our bases. I'm trying to cover every base. You can't. You can't. The evil one's right there. And you got to have God protecting you. And we all have attacks. I'll bet you I can sit down with everyone in here. They're struggling with something either within the family or within themselves or with somebody. We all have those attacks. We are not safe. And right now, they're probably coming more and more and more, because Christ is coming closer. His coming is coming closer and closer and closer. We all know what happened over this, you know, last night. Sad thing. But you know what? We, as Christians, should be expecting things. And that's, every time we hear this, we need to be closer to Christ. You know, that's who we need to count on, is him. We can't count on the world. We have to be tight with Christ. You've got to be walking with him. Be in the Bible. Read the word. There's books in the back, our daily prayer. You can get in there and read that. Our daily bread. I can't remember now the name of it. Daily bread, yeah. Get in there and read those. It'll get you in the word every day, and that's the routine we want to get you into. Reading every day. Pick up the Bible. When you start off in the morning, you know, Bill did a great message once about putting on the armor of God, right? You get up in the morning, you put on the breastplate, put on the helmet, grab the sword, walk around with that in mind, you know, get it in your mind. You have the desire to serve him and be an example or not. And see, back then, they were having all kinds of attacks. And I could just see one right here. You know, last week I mentioned we could use a greeter in the back. Because when Callie's not here, you know, we don't have a greeter. So if anybody, there's a position that's open that if anybody desires to serve. Well, what happens if somebody goes back to Callie or she's listening on Facebook and she goes, oh, he doesn't want me greeting anymore? Well, that's not what I said. But that's an attack of Christ, of the evil one. That's what he would do. He would get in Callie's mind and start playing those things in her mind. Oh, he doesn't want you doing it. You don't do it good enough. Yeah. And then, great, I don't even want to talk to him no more. Great, I'm going to find another church. That's what happens. People, that happens. That's reality. But what we need to do is stop that. Dennis wouldn't have said that. I know he wouldn't say that about you. He loves when you're back there greeting, you know? If we get into verse 11, it says, Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. He who does good is of God, and he who does of evil has not seen God. Boy, that's so true. You know, I mean, some of these verses you could just read. There's not much you can add to it. It's just so good to me. But when we start evil, if we do something bad and we don't even see ourselves imitating evil, it just gets in you. There's a verse that says, don't let the sun set on your anger. Well, anger is a part of the evil one. He wants you to be mad so he can distract you, so you can hear God talking to you. So when that evil one gets in your head, you know, you might be angry about something and you go to bed. Well, it just sits there and festers inside you, you know, and to the point where you can't even focus on anything else. You're just so mad. Your anger grows more and more, and it's just giving him a foothold. And we don't want to give him a foothold. So once we see we're starting to do something or someone points it out, that's why we need to really be close to each other to a point that we can say anything. I could say anything to Dave or Greg, you know, and Frank and Bruce, and I have, you know, but not to upset them, but to be truthful to them. And they are to me. If I'm doing something wrong, I want someone to point it out to me, you know. Dennis, you really shouldn't be slapping Pam that way. Well, tell me that, you know. If I'm doing that, maybe I shouldn't be doing that or something. You know, sometimes we just don't see that we're doing it, you know. I probably would have saw that, but, yeah. Yeah, she would. She would slap me back. But my point is that if we should be close enough to each other that we could just be truthful, you know, just like I started it off with, in the truth. Because if we're doing something wrong, it's messing with Christ, the whole picture of Christ, who we are. You know, there's a verse in Ezekiel, I think it's 3:18. It talks about if you know a man is in sin and you do nothing to stop him, you become part of that sin. And I've always thought that in my head. That means if I know Greg is doing something wrong and it's not right, and I allow him to go in it and don't say anything to him, and I'm a Christian and I'm walking next to him as a brother, I'm not being truthful with him. So I need to be truthful with him and find a way to talk to him and say, you're wrong in what you're doing, or let me tell you something. This is how I see you doing this. You got to find the way to speak it. But if I love Greg in truth, I will do that, right? And when I do that, then he sees it in truth, because Christ will help you get the words. He'll give you those words, right? And then, and I pray that Greg would understand that, but I know Greg's heart, he would. You know, I know he can say anything to me. You know, anybody can say anything to me. I'm open. I want to walk with Christ better. Juan's as good at telling me I'm doing something wrong. And I still love her, you know. I haven't cast her out yet. No, but we sat on a board together here at the church. Unfortunately, we didn't have the church set up right years ago, but we were on a board, and she used to really needle me at times. So I had to learn to deal with it, you know. Had to put my big boy pants on. But no, it's good. It's good that we could be that close to each other. And that's what Pam's trying to develop with the women's group, trying to get you guys to know each other, which is a good thing. It's a good, good thing. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. And that's verse 12. Colossians 1:3 says, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always. You are in my heart today. I might not call you or text you, but if you come into my heart, I will pray for you. And that's what we need to be doing. And especially if you know they're struggling with something. You know, and when we know someone's struggling with something, we don't go around talking about it to everybody else. We just pray for them. You know, we know what's going on in their heart, and we ask God to intervene and to help with that. But keep in prayer on them. You know, that's one good thing, too, we could do for each other. You know, we can text somebody a little message back. A couple weeks ago, we had Chris up here. You guys remember Chris when he was singing for us? When he was here, we used to text back and forth. You know, and there's some things we've talked about when he was here that I'm going to be texting him. But we text a scripture back and forth every once in a while. And it was so funny how he would text me a scripture, and it's like exactly what I needed to hear. You know, if God puts it upon your heart, don't hold on to it. Send it. You know, We have that availability. I think, to me, the internet and all this social stuff could be damaging, but it can also be good if we use it for good. We got to control it. You know, it could be bad, but it can be really good if we use it the right way. And encouraging words could be sent between us. You know, encouraging. You know, praying for them. Just even that, if someone said, praying for you, brother, you don't know what I'm struggling with. That might have been what God just told you to say to me. That's what I needed to hear. And that's being obedient to God. That isn't being obedient to me. And I don't have to sit there and think of you as being a holy person. I can think that God used you and you obeyed him. You know, because we all struggle with something right now. And we need to hear it. Did you know soldiers, one thing about this is cool is this was a letter that John wrote to them, to Gaius, you know? And you know what's cool is that soldiers overseas love to have a letter. They love to have it in their hand. Did you know that? They love to hear it and have it and save it and read it because they can read it again and again and again. And you send a soldier words of encouragement. I remember our son telling us that was the best thing he ever received. You know, and they could read that. You know, versus calling somebody and talking to them and stuff. My mom used to send out letters to everybody. She was one of those people who loved to write, and she would write people letters, and she would send them cards. And if you're really good, she put the little stickers of cars or things you like, little cake and little balloons and different things on the cards. It was a joke in the family. We used to say, look how many I got. Well, you know, so if you do a card to somebody, that's cool, you know? I mean, don't you love to get something in the mail other than a bill? You know, something, a letter, you know? And if we have people that left, there was a couple, when Chris was here that couple weeks ago, we had a couple that was from, that used to attend our church all the time, and they moved to Costa Rica. And I was thinking to myself, I need to send them a letter instead of just texting them and calling them and stuff. But to send a letter, you could pour your heart into it. And then I got to thinking, when I first became a Christian, I used to write a letter to Christ. Have you ever done that? Write what's on your heart. Write what you're struggling. You know, we used to have an intern pastor here, Will, and he used to say, write a journal, have a journal. And if you wrote your journal and you're still dealing with the same thing next year as you are today, you have a problem that you need help with. You should not be dealing with that same thing. You should be growing in Christ, right? And that's another good thing. But writing a letter to Christ, have you ever done that? That is so cool. I remember when we were getting married, we had to write a letter to each other. We went to Engaged Encounters. It was a Catholic thing. We had to be, in order to be Catholic and married, you had to follow their rules, you know. And I won't even go down that road, but we went to this Engaged Encounter thing, and it was really good because about half of the people decided they were not ready for marriage. They weren't compatible or something, whatever happened. But we wrote letters to each other, and that was cool, and I think we both still have them. You know, but writing letters, I wrote them in my first Bible. I wrote it all in the back, you know, everything that I was struggling with and going through. That's really cool. And then you go back and read it, and it's like, that's pretty encouraging that I've moved on from those things. You know, one of my struggles was drugs. I moved on from it. Praise God for that, you know. I'd be up here sounding really weird, but you probably wouldn't believe a thing I said. If you're smart, yeah. But, you know, we're not alone, and we need to have each other to support each other, right? And even if you wrote a letter to somebody in here, and you can put it in the back and not say anything to anybody, or a card, you know, little encouragement. You know, we keep talking about edifying. How can we edify each other, you know? Even walk up to somebody when you're talking to them and say, hey, I've been praying for you. You know? Well, great, thank you. You know, we might not feel like we're doing good when we do that, but we actually are. We're doing good. Verse 13 says, I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. And verse 14 says, but I hope to see you shortly, And we shall speak face to face. Peace to you, and our friends greet you. Greet the friends in my name. You know, that's another thing, face to face. You know, grab a cup of coffee with somebody, or just, you know, if you see them, get out there and just have time with them. You know, we don't do enough of that. You know, we don't do enough of that. And I know we meet here on Sundays, and then we have brunch and stuff. But even in brunch, there's not a lot of time to talk sometimes, you know. That's why I like to let people do greetings and see somebody you haven't seen for a little bit. But just how, you know, I used to have people, when we owned a shop in Parker, there was a couple people that used to just come visit me. There was a guy named Frank that was here. He was one of the elders at the time when Bill first started in Heidi. And he would just stop at the shop and just say, I need to talk to Dennis. And I'm like, oh, great, what's he want? You know, which was my bad attitude, you know. And he came up and he goes, I just want to see how you're doing. I'm like, what? What do you want to complain about, you know, to myself? And he just wanted to say, hey, I just really appreciate you. That was cool. So we had that kind of a relationship. We tried to encourage each other, right? I had other people stop in the shop. One was a Christian counselor, and he says, I just want to talk to Dennis. I'm like, oh, great. He sees something I'm doing wrong, and I'm going to have a long conversation with him and stuff. And he came up, and he just said, I just want to say thank you for all the things you do for us. I'm like, wow, that's cool. And that's encouraging. That lifts you up, and it makes, I'm headed the right way. I'm doing the right thing. So we need to encourage each other. And sometimes we're feeling down, and we don't know how to get back up. And that encouraging word helps us. If you're standing in agreement today for God's will to be done in your life, that's what you want to be doing. You want to be in agreement with what he wants in your will. And what he wants is he wants us to have joy. He really does. And we don't need to look at the stuff going on around us. You know, I try not to look. My mother-in-law, we were talking last night because what's going on in the world. And she goes, isn't this terrible what the world's doing and stuff? Well, I said, I don't see it. I'm not going to listen to it. That's not in my wheelhouse. My wheelhouse is Christ, right? He's number one. And what he says goes. And I'm not going to wallow in all that stuff that's going on in the world. I don't want to do that. When I see that, I think, praise God, he's coming sooner. I got through another day, you know. I look at yesterday, we did this, there was a thing right across the street from us called Lavender Farm, and they had a lavender festival. And I have been trying to say no to some things, and Pam signed us up. I have to make that point. She signed us up to volunteer back in March. You know, so we had to do this not knowing it was going to be 100 degrees outside, or 98, sorry, or 99. And we had to sit there all day selling plants for her in the sun, you know. And I had to help set up in the morning and close down at night. So it was a long day. But you know what? That day's over. I don't think about that now. It's all good. We have a new day today. It's going to be beautiful out. I'm going to do things I want to do. I'm going to relax, take it easy. I got to go fix Greg's thing. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. It's all a new day. But you know what? That's great, isn't it? It's beautiful. But I'm not going to think about the negative things that happened yesterday. Yesterday's out of my reach. The Father's here today. There's better days ahead of all of us, you know? And each day we see the ugliness, we know it's closer, you know? Sometimes you got to walk through the mud to get to the dry land. That's my take. But writing a letter to encourage everybody else to do the same. Give them a card. Talk to them. Write a letter to Christ and see where you fall. Let them touch your hearts. Proverbs 18 through 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Isn't that so true? And we don't love it. Language matters. Because it's how we can change certain situations. You know, we can change situations by how we feel and look at things in a positive direction, in a Christ-like direction. We can calm the atmosphere, you know. I hope I was calm in it when I talked to Dave as he was going through his struggles. You know, that when I called him and trying to help him out a little bit, you know, saying I'm there for you. Just calling, I bet, when he picked up the phone, okay, Dennis is on the phone. I'm not going to rip on him. I'm just there for him. A great friend of mine, he's Steve, he owned Ponderosa Funeral Home. And he said the best thing he could do with people who lost loved ones is just listen. You know, just sit there and be a listener. Just have two ears and listen. You can calm it out. We don't want to sit there and hear the yelling and the bickering. Just be quiet. Let them talk. The power of the tongue is huge. Where do our words come from? From the lips, or comes from our heart, right? But who are we representing? We're representing Christ. So learning to wait on the Lord leads us in our conversations, and it's crucial. The Holy Spirit will put in your heart what you need to say. He will give you the words. It's crazy. I've said some things to people, and I walk away going, "Wow, thank you, Lord, for giving me those words, because I had nothing to say to them. I had no clue. I just wanted to get out of there." And he's like, "No, you don't. You're going to say this." And you all of a sudden it comes to you, and you feel, okay, I'll say it. And you have to have that trust and that faith and do it in truth. So I'm going to end with this. John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Isn't that cool? Think about that. He's going to give you all things, and he's going to put them in your mind to remember. Sometimes I think I can never remember anything, especially in the Bible. I sometimes try to think of the verses and stuff, and then boom. When you're there talking to somebody or trying to help them out or going through a certain thing, it comes into your mind. So take time, get in the Word, read it, understand it, and be still and hear that still voice from Christ. All right? So music team, if you want to come up. Dear God, I just thank you for your helper that you send to us, the Holy Spirit, Lord, that can guide us and teach us and help us understand what we're going through, Lord. I also thank you for what you did on the cross. It was such an easy thing for us to accept him, Lord, but we make it so hard. You put yourself on that cross so we can walk with you, Lord. And the only thing we have to do, there's nothing we really have to do except for accept you. All you do is say, Lord, all I have to do is say, Lord, I believe you put yourself on the cross for me and that you take away all my sins, Lord. You died for me that I might have eternal life with you and the Father. And that's the only thing I have to do is just ask for forgiveness of my sins and say, Lord, I accept you. I accept you in my heart. I believe you died for me alone. And Lord, as we walk through you, do we represent that well? I know at times I struggle with it. And at times I see my brother struggling and I don't ask them if they need help. And I ask for forgiveness for that, Lord. That maybe I can be there for them. Make me available, Lord, when people need me. Make me available for when you need me, Lord. And may we spread your word with complete truth and love, Lord. We're so thankful for your word that you put in there, because the early Christians didn't have the book like we have it, that we can pick it up and read it. And all the things that we face, Lord, are in this Bible. All we have to do is pick it up and read it, Lord, and understand what you say. I just praise you. I give you thanks and praise, Lord. And I just ask that for a blessed week for all of us that are here. In Jesus' name, amen.